Let me feel you moving like they do. go.
That was the great Leonard Cohen, one of the best lyricists ever. His poetry books are fantastic. He was fantastic. I just love the man. Okay, so listen, you guys, welcome. And I'm excited to talk about doppelgangers tonight. And joining me, I have my good friend, Beth Blue, Elizabeth Blue. I'm going to bring her on right now. She is actually in Virginia. We'll see how she's doing. How's the weather there in Virginia?
It's a little cool, actually. It was hot last week, and now it's cold.
What? Cold is the great.
I had to shut my windows.
Oh, shoot. It's been warm here, you know. You were just here. You were just up here visiting. Was it warm when you were here?
No. Okay. It was tolerable. I was afraid it was going to be freezing, but it was not bad. And now here, it feels like it was up there a few weeks ago.
Right. Okay. Right. I hear you. Yeah. It's been
It was hot, and then it got cold, and, you know, next week it'll be hot again.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Right. So, you know, just in case you guys don't remember Beth from a couple shows ago, actually she was on, she gave readings with me. She did a phenomenal job. She's also an author.
Thank you.
And she's a mother, an author. What else are you? She owns a tarantula.
I have a tarantula, and I have seven cats.
Seven? Jesus. Holy God.
Yeah, so I'm a mama cat.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of freaking cats, Beth. Jeez.
It is.
Oh, my God. So, anyways, all right. So, like, we talked about, we're going to talk about doppelgangers. And so I just want to say, like, you know, most people know what doppelgangers are. Like, it's obviously a body double of yourself or someone else. But there's so many different stories about doppelgangers through the ages. And I don't know what you know about doppelgangers, Beth, but I just want to start by talking about the, and we'll give readings later, you guys, so just hold on. Catherine the Great actually had a doppelganger. And, of course, we know that doppelgangers, if you see your own doppelganger, it's an omen of death, supposedly. So I don't know. Have you ever seen a doppelganger, Beth?
Not of myself, no. But I was, my thoughts about it, the fact that it's generally accepted that seeing a doppelganger is an omen of death. So I started wondering if that's really the case, right? And so I started looking at different things online, and I found out that, in fact, most of the time, yes, it is, but sometimes it's not. So that, I think, contributes to the fact that it makes it more of a phenomenon, you know what I mean? It makes it even more mysterious that most of the time, yes, but sometimes not. So that, you know, that's really more interesting to me. The German, Goethe, he actually saw himself escorting his future self riding to meet his lover. So that's a positive thing, right? He didn't die after that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. I didn't realize that. Also, the writer, speaking of writers, Guy de Maupassant, you know, the author, he wrote a story about his double. The story is called La Orla, H-O-R-L-A, and it's about a demon who was invited into a guy's life and finally killed himself, but I'd like to read that story sometime. You know, I've read some of de Maupassant's stuff, but it's usually like there's a story that he wrote called A Piece of String, and it's actually the life of a piece of string. And you would think it would be a really dry, boring story, but it's interesting.
Right? I think I might have read that.
Oh, shit. Anyways, okay, so there was a woman back in the early 1900s that was a teacher. Her name was Emily Sagi. She had a very pronounced doppelganger, and her students would see the doppelganger, like supposing she was in front of the blackboard teaching, see her doppelganger out in the gardens or out in the, you know, in another place in the building at the same time as they saw her. She never saw her doppelganger, but but she was fired from many teaching positions over this twin because it caused all sorts of issues, I guess.
Yikes.
And, yeah, she had wanted to do – so some people say that it was because Emily wanted to do two things at one time, that she was like a very busy woman, that she always wanted to get so much done, that she actually created the body double her, you know, from her own needs. But, okay, she was seen in the garden and in the classroom at the same time. The Emily in the garden appeared to have a difficult time. So the doppelganger part of Emily was like sort of, and I've heard this before, an automaton of sorts. So when I've heard people calling up the dead, like there was a story I read once about Marilyn Monroe. It was Anton LaVey. He was like Anton LaVey was a satanic worshiper. He actually started the Church of Satan. So he told someone that he could call up the spirit of Marilyn Monroe. And so he went out into someone's backyard, or they went, I don't know, they were sitting in a car or something, and all of a sudden up the hill comes Marilyn Monroe. She was
dead.
And so the guy who witnessed this happening said she moved like an automaton, very mechanically, and had like a dead eye. She approached the car and then turned around and walked back out of sight. But I always find this very interesting, that because we can create a double just with our own thoughts. And I've seen where people have lost, like, say, I know the story of one young man who was a drug addict, and he actually, his best friend died, and he actually created a double, which some people call them Ka, K-A.
Yeah, right.
And so he created the double of his best friend that died, and the double actually caused some trouble in his life. I can't get into the details, but anyway, suffice it to say, you probably don't want to be creating a double of anybody because, you know,
right.
it's actually, like the friend was okay. The friend was safely in whatever you want to call heaven. The double that he had created was a mischief maker, which usually they are, you know.
It makes sense. I mean, it really makes sense that they are troublemakers because there should be only one of you. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
There shouldn't
exactly.
a double, like a literate double, is like an abomination of nature because there's
right.
supposed to be only one of you.
Right. And that, which is why Frankenstein, well, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, I mean, that wasn't a double. That was a multi-human conglomeration. But I mean,
yeah.
But remember, do you remember how Frankenstein was always like, I am like, I forgot what the quote was from the book, but he was like, I'm an abomination. It's like, I am unholy.
Yeah.
You know, but
exactly.
Anyways. but also, Percy Shelley also encountered his own double many times. The doppelganger of his asked him one time, how long do you mean to be content? And then Mary Shelley, who was, of course, married to Percy Shelley, told others about it. And the she finally saw his doppelganger. The doppelganger pointed to the ocean, and then Shelley died. She saw the doppelganger pointing to the ocean, and, of course, that is how Percy Shelley died. So I thought that was interesting too, you know.
That's it's also very creepy.
Right. And then the great Abe Lincoln, he saw his double twice in a mirror, which back then would have sometimes shown as a, you know, of course back then the mirrors would show double images sometimes, but he did see his doppelganger, and then of course, he did end up getting killed. So I don't know if – I don't remember the rest of the story with Abe Lincoln, but that's interesting because Abe Lincoln was kind of a magical person, I think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I read something about that a little bit about Abraham Lincoln, and I think one thing that happened was that it was his wife who actually predicted that he was actually seeing a doppelganger, and that she was the one who felt like it was a predictor of his death.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that's kind of hard. You know, that's tough for her. Holy cow. Can you imagine?
Yeah, no kidding. Jesus. Well, in my own life,
I think he kind of played it off.
Yeah, right. That's weird. I didn't know that, Beth. And then in my own research and in my own experiences, not that I met this guy ever, but I know this story, and I've probably told the story before, but forgive me if I have. There was a gentleman who lived near me, and Ken is saying in chat that Lincoln's wife was into the paranormal. That's interesting, Ken. I didn't realize that, you know. But so in my own research and instances that have come up, there was a guy who lived close to me here that did have a body double. He claimed to be cursed since the age of 6. He was a Canadian Frenchman. But he had a body double, and there was actually an exorcism performed on him by Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I saw the exorcism footage, and it was freaky as hell. It was just freaky. This is like back when it was just a camcorder. You couldn't really screw around with the footage and make all kinds of effects like you can today. But his name was Maurice Theriault. And so anyways, his body double would actually be able to lift cars. That's how strong this doppelganger was.
Wow.
And so what ended up happening is he felt he was possessed, and the exorcism didn't work, obviously, because he then went on to shoot his wife. And then he shot himself and he killed himself. So it was just a really screwed up like story about this gentleman. But anyways, yeah, so that's a weird story in itself.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Ken is saying she was into seances. A lot of people at that time I think were into, you know, the spiritualist church, I think, began at that time in history. I'm not sure when the spiritualist church started, but I think around that time, a lot of people were into seances. And
yeah.
So that makes sense. And of course, I do remember this, Ken, also, is that she went and got a photo taken. And after Lincoln died, she had a photographer take a picture of her, and in the picture is a image of Lincoln. Of course, now we know that the photographers back then were putting these pictures in there. So, but she was amazed because she thought Lincoln was coming through in the picture, you know?
Right.
So, and I think even her son Todd died, right? Is that true, Beth?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I think he died also. And I don't know, I'm getting a little confused between who was in the photo. Maybe both of them were. I don't remember, but...
Well, you know what? They're all dead now, so...
Yeah, right, I know, right. But anyway, so it's just... it's interesting, you know, very interesting. So if we see... If we happen to see... Like, I once actually... I was at a bar one night, and I was faced with this woman who was wearing the same dress as I was. She had the same hair and the same shoes, and we looked the same. And we both looked at each other, and we started laughing.
Wow.
Prettier than I was. But, I mean, we looked basically, we had the same hair and everything. Yeah, she was, Beth. But anyway, so that I remember that night was weird. But Yeah, so if I ever, like, actually there's someone in chat right now today, her name's Jackie. Jackie was gardening outside today, and she saw a woman, like, I guess, Jackie, was it near your yard? I don't know where she saw the woman, but it was near where she was working in her garden, and she thought it was her mother. And she's like, what's my mother doing here?
Oh, my.
So the woman.
Oh, well, that's
so the
crazy because tomorrow's Mother's Day. Wow.
I know, right? So then the lady actually spoke to her and said, you know, like, I guess Jackie said, I'm sorry I'm staring at you, but you look just like my mother. And the lady just said whatever she said, you know what I mean? But I don't, like, she was happy to be compared to her mother or whatever. But, I mean, so it's like we do encounter people like that, I guess, in life. And I know, like, if I was trying to think of a double for you, Beth, I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head, but there's lots of people in my life that look like other people, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I actually just asked my middle son, Matthew, maybe last week, that if he ever, because we used to live in Richmond, Virginia, right? And in 2011, we moved down to Hampton Roads. And, you know, I don't really know anybody here. He knows more people here because he's younger and he, you know, goes to work and school and whatever. But every once in a while, I'll go, you know, to the grocery store or just be out on a hike or walking around somewhere. And I'll see people that I think are people that I know from Richmond. But then I realize it can't be them because I'm not in Richmond. But they look exactly like them. It's so weird. And I asked Matthew if he had ever experienced that, and he was like, well, no, not really. And I wonder if it's just, you know, something psychological going on in my brain where I want to see these people. And, I mean, I don't know. It's just really weird. I wouldn't go up and talk to them because what if they're not
right.
Really, what if they're, like, this is a great example. What if they really look like that person and they're like the evil twin? You know what I mean? Creepy.
Right. Well, I remember once when I was like younger, I encountered this guy that was just like one of my brothers. And I said, I went up to him and I go, you look just like my brother. And he goes, well, you don't look like my sister. The whole thing with people being able to project, and then you get into the whole your ethereal body, right? Your ethereal body could be elsewhere. Like when we're dreaming, for instance, our ethereal bodies are visiting other dimensions, I believe. Do you think that?
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about dreams, and mainly because I have a lot of weird dreams, and I don't know where I travel to in those dreams. It's you know, might be a whole nother topic of discussion, but it's, yeah, definitely interesting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have, like, well, I can't remember how many bodies we have. I think it's five, like the spiritual, the mental body, I can't remember them all right now. But yeah, so it's just interesting where we go when we dream because, man, in fact, last night I had a dream, and in the dream, do you know what you look like in your dream, Beth? Because I always look different.
I have no idea what I look like in my dream because it's always, I never see myself in my dream. I only see outside.
Okay. Yeah. Because, for instance, the other night when I was dreaming, I had black cornrows. It was like long dreadlocks, And it's weird. It's like I'm somebody else in the dreams, some of the dreams, and I just wonder, you know, where, I mean, maybe it's just my imagination making me different, or is it really myself in another dimension? Because I am a firm believer in living, like we're actually living in a few different dimensions. You have this life here, but you're living in other dimensions at the same exact time, you know? I don't know what you think about that, but I do believe that that's the case, because sometimes they seem to overlap. And I think they definitely overlap when we're dreaming. And it's just very interesting. I know, it's like hard enough to keep in track of one life, right? You don't want to be taking
right, exactly. It's like trying to do math.
Right. Now, when we were on previous, when Beth was on the show previously, we talked about life after death, and Beth is kind of on the fence about, did you, you know, about there being a life after death, and so did our conversation shift you at all into believing?
I mean, you know what, it really kind of did. In some ways, because I mean, I'm still always skeptical of everything, but I look at it from a different perspective now after that conversation. It's really kind of interesting because a lot of things have started to make sense, and that's what I look for, though, is for things to make sense to me. And if it makes sense to me, then I'm good with it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know, but, you know, a lot of the mystery of the other side, or whatever you want to call it, a lot of the mystery is meant to be a mystery for us, and we're never going to be 100% certain of what happens when we die.
Right.
But as I said, as I've said a million times, I have gotten all the proof I need that there's an afterlife, you know? So,
right.
I mean, you know, but, you know, some people don't even care. They're like, I don't care if I go on or not, you know? I happen to care, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I care, too, and it's funny because it's the things I've thought about over the years from the time that, like, you know, I was a little kid to when I was in high school and a young adult to now, the different thoughts I've had about afterlife are just like, you know, it's really kind of interesting to see what has changed my mind about things. And it's always related to an event, some kind of event, you know what I mean? And it's either a good event or a bad event. I'm like, so there's, you know, something good happens. I'm like, yeah, I believe in all of this, yeah. And then something bad happens, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to believe in it anymore. So I just shut it out. And it's, I mean, I think that's kind of normal. I hope it's normal, for people to go through these different phases and not because we don't have any proof of anything. You know what I mean? It's just so hard for some people, me included, to nail it down.
Right, right. But
you know?
I mean, you say we don't, yeah, but you're saying we don't have any proof, and I would argue that we actually do have proof, you know. Well, at least I have gotten all the proof I need.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the other night, let me tell you something that happened. I was talking to my tax lady. My tax lady's in South Carolina. Her name's Pecolia. And I got off the phone with her, and I said, who's Ronnie? You know, who's Ronnie? But that name came to me after I got off the phone with her, right? So
yeah.
So then she called me the next day, and I said, Pecolia, who's Ronnie? And she said, Ronnie who? And I said, I don't know. Do you know any Ronnies? And she goes, yeah, my uncle Ronnie, but he died last year. And I'm like, That's it, right? So then she calls me back, and she says, my cousin Tawana wants to talk to you. She's been waiting for a message from Ronnie.
Wow.
So, So I called Ron. I called Ronnie too, but I'm not. I called Tawana, and I said, Tawana, you know, so she's, the lady was freaking out. Like, the first thing I said, she was, like, screaming her head off. She goes, oh, my God. And she was going on and on. So then, anyway, so I told her everything that she needed to know about Ronnie, that she wanted to know. I'm not trying to show off here, you guys. I'm just saying how things work in life. You know what I mean? And so it was just so freaky. And so then she said, well, you know, I want to book an appointment with you because I want to talk to my mom. And I said, she goes, she died also. And I said, what's her name? And she told me. So I said, she was really pretty. She goes, oh, she was beautiful. I said, I see a young Diana Ross. And she said, they always called her Diana Ross.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, it's like I love getting those gold nuggets like that because that just to me proves that I'm not just wacky or crazy or anything because, you know, that's why, not to talk about myself, but I'm going to for a second.
Go for it, honey.
But that's why it's like when I give a reading to somebody, like a full reading, I'm not talking about when I give readings here because those are quick and they're not involved. And if I meditate on you, I have to, you know, before you pay me for a reading, I have to be able to give you those gold nuggets or else I get mad at myself. I feel like I failed. So I want to be able to do that. You know what I mean? And if I don't do that, I'm like, I'll give you your money back because I need to be able to validate for you that I'm actually talking to spirit. You know what I mean?
Certainly.
So anyways, all right, end of my story. But, so anyways, I'm trying to think of what other doppelganger things. I mean, Jesus, there's so much in history about doppelgangers. But I mean, doppelgangers also speak to our, perhaps our dark sides and our light sides. And we need, I was actually just writing an essay for Horror Writers Association. And the essay is The Majesty of Hell. And, you know, I know that sounds like a weird title, but it's, you know, we all have dark sides and light sides. There's always our shadow side and our light side. And I think that we cannot function without both sides. And that,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we have to recognize our shadow sides. I mean, I think I do. I have no problem. I don't think. I mean, maybe I do. I don't think I do. But what, you know, so do you think you're in touch with both sides of yourself, Beth?
You know what? I think I have a struggle still. But I don't think the struggle is as struggly as it used to be. I think the older we get, the easier it is to understand ourselves. So I definitely, you know, I'm 53 now, and I definitely think that, you know, 10 years ago, I thought maybe less about how, you know, my dark side might relate to my light side. But now I definitely see the division, and I can make more of a reconciliation now. So, you know, I don't know. But maybe it's a progression of, you know, your entire life. So from the time that you're very small to the time when you eventually die, it's, I don't know, I kind of see like this weird graph in my head. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But yeah, definitely like I think it comes with age, just like, you know, anything comes with age, wisdom and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, well, you'd think wisdom comes with age, but not always, because I see a whole lot of ignorant people, no matter what age they are, you know?
This is true. So maybe just for some of us, wisdom comes with age. But, most people, I think, are smarter at 50 than they were at 25. But maybe not. I hope my kids will be smarter at 50 than they are at 25.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they will be. I'm sure they will be. But I mean, you know, it's a, you know, life is just, it's just such a weird thing. I mean, I don't even know. It's like, you know, the smarter you think you're getting, the less actually you're grasping. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's weird. It's so weird. And we're
watching. It really is weird.
Yeah. Me and Beth are watching one of our very best friends, actually. Beth went to visit her this past week or the week before. And so, which I'm so grateful that you went, Beth.
Oh, me too. Oh my God, that was a gift. It was a true gift to be able to go.
Totally. Yeah, and so our friend is actually dying. I hate to put it like that, but that's the truth. And she's having a hard time. And she, you know, I mean, I don't know, because we haven't heard about her in a few days now, so I don't know what is actually going on right now. But, I've watched a couple people die, but I mean, I think that's not all light and fluffy, but it's like, it's essential for us to witness these things, to witness the struggling, to witness the suffering in order to make us more human and to bring out our light. You know what I mean? That's why I always say, mm-hmm. Other people have argued with me about this, but I think that unless you have witnessed struggle or been through struggle, you really don't get it. You don't get it. So,
yeah.
Do you know anyone that has, I've known a few people in my life that seem like have to live a charmed life where they never worried about anything. They got everything handed to them. And it's like, I think to myself, what an empty life. Never have struggled. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for struggle, you know, no matter what it is. It's just a fact of life. And, yeah, I've known a couple of people who've just been, they just sail.
Yeah.
And I find that kind of sad and empty because, well, they're not experiencing anything.
No. It's like, it's stupid to say that old, or that stupid saying, no pain, no gain. But
right.
I feel like that's true. And I don't just mean at the exercise gym. I mean,
right. I mean, I think it's true for a lot of things, exercise included. But yeah, I mean, it's a great adage for life.
Yeah, yeah. Although other people have argued they don't think that that's true, but I definitely think it's true because without that kind of experience of losing and sorrow and whatever else that comes with, that without that experience, how can you understand somebody else's suffering?
You can't,
you know?
Not at all.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. So.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, but maybe you can. I don't know. I personally, I don't think I could understand if I were, like, my entire life had been just, like, wonderful and I'd never experienced anything bad, I really don't see how it would be possible for me to see that this other person suffered at all. And there's no way I could identify with that experience. You know, you have to, it might not be the same experience, but I think that it's just like, there's the balance of good and bad. You have to see good. You have to see bad in order to be able to see the whole picture.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so we went from doppelgangers to the other stuff, but that's okay. So we're gonna give readings, you guys. So we're going to take like a little 2-minute break for a song, and then we'll come back. And Beth, I'm so happy you're with me tonight. I just love
you. Oh, me too.
I hope you don't mind giving readings with me because you did a fantastic job last time, and I know you will again.
Well, I will try my best.
Okay. You'll do a great job. Okay. So we're going to play a song by someone who has died, of course. And It's called Corpus Christi Carol, and we'll be back. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Okay. Okay. Bumping along.
Great. My question is regarding at work. We kind of strange, but I have something going on. But we did a cleanup of our service area, but we usually don't do that. So is something going to happen next week? And just kind of strange that I'm picking this up. I thought about it and going like, there's something going on here. So there must be head office or somewhere we're losing staff again, or we're going to ask for a pay reduction maybe. So, yeah, just wonder what your thoughts are about that. Thank you.
Okay. I feel like, well, I remember the last time I thought I told you there was going to be a shift of employees. They were going to let go of, or some people are going to leave and other new people are going to come in. I don't know if that has happened.
No, we did have last time I talked to you, we did have some people leave. That was a few months ago, but nothing has happened since. So I just wondered if they were going to be told about something news or something like that. So just really curious. It's kind of strange that we're cleaning up right now, but maybe that's just because we just want to clean up. So maybe it could just be because of that. So.
Right. Beth, what are you feeling?
When you say clean up, what do you mean exactly?
Oh, well, we haven't cleaned up our service area in a long, long time. So, and we really cleaned it up on Friday. So, yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, that is. I'm not really sure. It seems to me that it's probably just like one of those spring cleaning kind of things.
Okay.
Like new season, new area.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see a
reduction.
It doesn't seem
bad.
I just wondered about that. Okay. Can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much for the answer. I got a question for you. I have this prediction that our service area is going to suffer a lot of grief. Maybe someone is ill right now, and I think it's going to continue to trend, into the fall. Just wondered, we may be losing people, like, not being there or not alive. Just wondered what your thoughts about that is.
I don't feel that there's going to be, like, a big surge of losing people that way. I don't know why you're feeling. If you're feeling that way, there's got to be a reason. But I don't feel that way. I feel like things are kind of getting a little bit better in that respect. I'm not sure why you feel that way. Tell me how you're feeling about it, Jay.
Just what's happened and not in the world, but people have made decisions, health decisions that. Are really going to be detrimental to their health and our health of our company, too.
Oh. I don't know. Beth, what do you feel?
Are you worried about COVID? So, I mean, like, what's the culture or the requirements for COVID where you work?
What do you mean requirements?
Like, are people required to be masked? Do you have people who are required to get vaccinated and that kind of thing?
Oh, I feel that a large portion of our company got the jab, so I feel that we're going to get some really horrific stuff coming up in the near future.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't feel that way, Jay. I don't know why, but I'm not feeling that, you know? It's like when you started to ask the question, I'm like, I saw brightness, like, in the future. Like, that's because I'll see, like, hallways, and it's like, is it bright at the end of the hallway or is it dark? And I saw a bright hallway, so I don't know, you know? But you might be able to help that situation. You know that if you're putting light in that place, it's going to be there, you know?
Okay. We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to hear back from you about what happens, you know?
Oh, for sure. Sure, we'll give it some more months and see what happens there.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck. I hope that it does. I hope it is healthy and safe and everything is good, you know, there for you.
Yes. Yeah, well, thanks so much for your prayers, too. So thank you. Thanks to both of you for
the
questions. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Okay, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. I just feel, Beth, that, I mean, I know this is a horrible situation we're in nationwide.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like I'm not seeing it as like a wicked, dark, black situation either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like I feel like he might be pretty worried, and a lot of people are worried. But I think if people think positively, I know that seems cliche, but I think there is a lot to the power of positive thinking, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's like when we put light into a situation, and we can physically and mentally do this, so we can put positivity where there is none. I've seen this happen.
Exactly.
I know people that can transform situations like, wow, how did you do that? In fact, one of them just entered the chat room.
I've done it myself.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this can happen, you know, so... I hope you guys know that you know, we don't have control over a lot, but the things we do have control over are putting light out there, putting positivity, and it's just so important to do that. Okay, so the next caller we have is 504. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, I kind of have like a little situation the same as the caller before me. I have at work, I have a great deal of support of the boss above my boss, but the manager with me, and I still haven't found a job, has been getting more tricky, and she's just coming up with ways to try to get me out of there, and they're failing. But it's exhausting. I was wondering if you see her going maybe or change of personnel, because she seems to be getting sloppy, I guess is the word.
Yeah. I feel like she's got some issues going on, Debbie. Like, I don't know what it is. It's some personal issues that she's dealing with. She's the one trying to get you out of your job, or who is responsible for that?
It's her. Her name's starts with an H.
Okay. I feel like she actually is going to hang herself before she hangs you. So something's going to happen.
I feel that too. But it's really difficult. I mean, she's pumped up her, you know, game, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. But she, I don't know, like I'm seeing her, she looks tired.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like she's running out of steam or something. But listen, you talk about putting protection around yourself. you seem to be able to do that pretty well. I mean, I don't think that her trying to rail against you is going to do anything, quite frankly. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, all right. So I first of all think this lady is she feels threatened, and like you said, she's exhausted. She like doesn't know what to do with herself, and so she lashes out at other people and makes other people feel uncomfortable. And that's all to make herself feel better, because she doesn't feel like she's in control.
She's not anymore, though. She used to, I've been there like 5 years, and she's gotten rid of probably like 6 people. But I'm the one person she hasn't been able to get rid of. And I think she doesn't understand why. I think I have a pretty good spiritual team. And I've been looking and not finding a job, so I figure there's a reason I'm there. But it's exhausting for me too, you know?
Oh, sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully, you know what, it seems like she's maybe going to be the one on her way out, because it's like over the years it's been a battle. And so
it's
here
like,
we are at the end of the battle.
Yeah, okay. Is there any advice you can give me? I mean, I'm trying not to be triggered and staying away from her. And I just, if there's any, like, heads up you can give me, because she just keeps thinking of more and more inventive ways, and I'm like, wow. And I try to stay two steps ahead. But if you can give me some help. I am exhausted, too, though, even though I do have a lot of help spiritually.
Right. So did you ever put her in the freezer, Debbie?
You know what? I did it one time. I did. And then my sister moved in and she saw it. And I felt so stupid. She made me feel bad. She was like, oh, come on. But, I mean, maybe I need to redo it, huh? I don't know.
Put it back. Put her body back in the freezer. And then, you're not harming her at all, Debbie. You're just saying, quit it. I'm freezing you from harming me. That's what you're saying, you know?
Okay. Because she gets other people to do her dirty work now. Like, she'll tell one person to write a letter. And, I mean, it's really inventive, and it's worked on everybody. And she just can't figure out why she can't get rid of me. I mean, it's funny, and it's not, you know? I'm like, I want place where it could just be normal. She's
right,
not normal,
right.
Though.
No. And I mean, like I said, she's hanging herself, really. And I feel like she's tired. I know it's been going on for a while, but it's not going to go on much longer. I don't feel like it's going to go on much longer. Nothing's going to harm you. Let's put it you put it in your mind, and you surround yourself with a white light. Nothing's going to harm you.
Okay.
But just in case, put her in the freezer. Back in the freezer.
Okay. I have flat tires, too, by the way. Busy days, like, I'll have a flat. But she doesn't knife it. She just takes the air out of my tires. I think it's her. I mean, I imagine it's her.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's not good.
No, but the lady above her likes me. It's, so it's really a conundrum. And she came on about 2 years ago, and she was just like, I'm not going to let this happen. But she's, you know, in a different state. And I say it's, I call her crying constantly.
Right. Shit. Well, I mean, like I said, you just got to hang in there, Debbie, and realize that. Evil does not win, okay? I mean,
okay.
I'm telling you, it's like, it seems like it does sometimes, like it's actually like taking over, but it can't. It can't sustain itself. Negativity cannot sustain itself. You know, just remember that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let us know what happens in the future, if you would.
Oh, I will. Soon. Okay, I hope it's pretty soon, because okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's hard when someone is constantly working to screw you up like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the feeling, because I have that in my life every day. From this other company that's trying to put me out of business forever.
Yeah.
It stinks. It's like this feeling that is like, oh my God, when is the hatchet coming down? You know? And I don't know. I just feel like I firmly believe that negativity cannot win out. It cannot. Because to be
negative. Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Positivity is always stronger.
Mhm. Just like
just
love
by its very nature.
Right, right, right. So, you know, Deb, and I know you do have luck on your side, so don't worry about it. Okay, so we have 856. Who do we have at 856? 776.
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'd like to know what you see for me around a move.
A move. Okay. Well, where are you right now?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. I can understand why you want to get out of there. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Uh-huh.
No. So have you been looking at different places to move to?
I have been, yes.
Okay. Because I'm not seeing necessarily west, I'm seeing like more east. And I don't know. Laura, why am I thinking of like Maine? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I haven't been looking at Maine. I was hoping to go further south where it's warmer, maybe like the Carolinas, but Maine.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I want to move to Maine myself, but yeah, so the Carolinas, that's good.
I would advocate for the Carolinas.
Totally,
I have to get a
right?
job change, though. It's all hinges on work. I was hoping to get something out of New Jersey. I'd even go to Pennsylvania, anywhere but this state.
Right. So does it depend on where your job will take you to?
Well, so right now we're doing a remote, and I don't know if that's going to continue or if they're going to start wanting you to go into the office. I do contract work. So it really kind of hinges. I'm supposed to have an interview either this Wednesday or next week sometime for a permanent full-time position. And that, right now it's 100% remote. And I think it's like based out of New York, though. So I'm not really sure where I'm going to land, if it's going to be remote, if I'm going to – I was just hoping I was going to move out of the state and go somewhere. I didn't know where I'm going to go. Are you picking up anything at all? Any major changes?
What do you think, Beth?
I think the Carolinas.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, so if you are going to – continue to work remotely, I think it would be a really good choice to go with the company that's going to allow you to work remotely, and you can basically live anywhere. And I just, it might be my own personal bias. I'm in Virginia, but I'm essentially a Carolina girl, so I would say North Carolina is good for you. You sound like you would be comfortable in North Carolina.
I just got to get a really good job that will allow me to work remotely 100%. And then I definitely could move to the Carolinas, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so why don't you start looking at places in North Carolina just to put it out there, Laura? You know what I mean?
Well, I have been submitting resumes for the Carolinas, but I haven't gotten any interviews for any of those jobs in the Carolinas.
Well, just keep doing it. You know what I mean? Just keep doing it.
Okay.
'Cause I really don't see you moving anywhere for like at least 4 months. So just keep putting that out there where you really want to go to, and something will pop up. Believe me.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. Take it easy,
okay.
Laura.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay. So now we have 347. 347. Hello, 347.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is Tamika from New York.
Hi, Tamika. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. I just have a question. So with my current job, I have been unhappy there for a while. I started there in November 2019, and it's been a roller coaster. So recently I've been trying to make the best of it by just kind of accepting things the way it is. And I guess you could say it's sort of become more tolerable, but I really don't know if it's a place I'm going to move up or if it's going to get better for me there. So there's a company that I was applying to for a long time, and I kind of gave up on them. And recently they offered me a job making $2 less, and it would be in a neurological office, not not far from where I work now. So I'm wondering if I should take it or should I stay where I am, and if things are going to get better, or should I just leave and go to this job?
Take the job. I say take the job. That was my first impulse when you said that was, she's got to take the job.
Same. Take
yeah.
it.
yeah. yeah. And, I mean, the pay, it will increase rather quickly, I believe, Tamika, you know?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry that you're making a little bit less money because it's going to increase quickly. You're a good worker, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's bad because I told them, you know, I want to move up, and it's like an office job way deep in a building with no windows or anything, whereas where I work now is kind of like by the window, by the exit. I get to see the sun every day. And they were like, when you're here, you can't just leave fast. Like, you can't move up that quick. Like, you have to be here for like a couple of years. And I could never see myself being in that situation for a couple of years in that office with no windows or anything doing what I would be doing. So I'm kind of worried.
I don't know. I just feel like that is something, I feel like it's a good move for you. I can't exactly tell you why, but I feel like it's a good move.
I don't know why.
Well, first of all, I think you'll be happier there regardless of the view or whatever. I think you'll be happier there. And I feel like you're going to meet other people that are, like, more on your page for different things. And I don't know. I feel like it's a better thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how long do you have to decide?
They want me to decide this week. And I was, like, worried about the $2 less, you know, because I would have to commute there, whereas this job is walking distance.
Right. But you don't like the job you have right now.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I say take the other job, and I don't know that you're going to be there that long. But, of course, you know, it's always good to have a job while you're looking for another job. So you don't have to exactly stay there forever, but I feel like it's a good move for you for a lot of different reasons. Like, just like, you don't want to be in a place that you don't want to be in, right? You don't want to be going to work every day, even if it's convenient for you, that you don't like. That's not good for you. You know what I mean? So consider this a stepping stone, and I think something else is going to come up after you land there. I just feel like something else is going to come up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can I ask about a love person?
Quickly.
Okay. It's someone that I was involved with before I got to this job. Me and him met at the last job I was at before this one. His name is Frank. We were involved in... The last time we were involved and saw each other was in January, and I heard from him again recently after or a couple of months since January, about two Fridays ago. Out of nowhere, I heard from him. And he's someone that I still do care about a lot, and I wanted a deeper relationship with him, but I felt like I never got that. So, you know, I always had my hopes up that something would change with him. So I'm wondering if you see it being different, like if things are going to get better with us.
Okay.
Or what his story is.
Right. Well, we have Caleb St. John on the line right now. Caleb, are you there? Maybe he's not there. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought he would be able to help us answer this question. Okay, so Frank. Let me see. Yeah, he's busy, right? Is he, like, really a busy guy?
I don't know. I think so. I really don't know what he does in his personal life. I don't know if he's seeing someone or not, or what he's doing, if he's busy or not, but, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, there's definitely a connection between you and him, because I feel like, I see, like, this electrical thing between you guys. Like, there's, like, attraction there. I don't know. That's, like, up in the air. What do you feel, Beth?
I wonder, you know, like, what does he do for work? Is he, like, I don't know.
The last job I worked at with him, he was working in the billing department of a medical office, and I was working as a front desk in that office. I think
I feel like he probably is pretty busy. If you felt like you had a connection with him, he probably does have the same connection with you, but maybe he doesn't know exactly, you know, how to proceed, what to do about it.
He knows how I feel about him. We were involved, and he knows I always wanted more from him.
If he's a male, he probably doesn't know what to do. You might, I mean, like, actually, you might have to spell it out for him. You might have to be, what's the word? I forget what the word is. But you might have to be the one who starts something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be me doing it again, because while we were together, we would clash a lot, because I would tell him, you know, I want more. Like, this is not enough for me. Like, we can be involved, and I enjoy that, but, you know, to a grown man and woman being involved, like, we have to go out sometime, you have to let me see your life, and he would always be like, oh, I'm anti-relationship. So then I'm like, okay, fine, well, you know what I'm about, and I kind of stepped away, and now he's come back.
That's why
he was, you know, different now. I mean, I always felt it out for him and communicated my feelings about us.
Yeah. I think you just got to be a little more patient, Tamika. I think that things are going to come together sometime in the future. I see about 6 months, though. I don't see anything really changing for about 6 months. So, but definitely, you know, he's in your heart. You know what I mean? Like, and you're in his heart. So something's going to happen. But just give it a little bit of time and be patient, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to hear from you, Tamika.
I know. It's good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in so long. It's good hearing your voice and talking to you again.
Thank you. You too. All right, take it easy. Let us know what happened.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so the next caller we have is 518.
Hello. Oh, my God. Is this the wonderful Kareen?
I try. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to see you on and doing readings. You're so good at it. I'm like, you know what? I want a reading.
Okay, I'm thrilled. I am freaking thrilled. I was so happy to see you in chat. So for those of you who don't know, Jenny, I call you my best friend, so I hope you don't mind.
No, I mean, we go way back, and it's not just years, it's in spirit, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I would love to help you any way I can. Do you have a question, or do you want me to just tell you what I'm feeling?
What do you think is best for you? How do you work best?
So I'm seeing, like, I like a question that I can kind of get the guidelines about.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I got a million questions. No.
Okay.
How about,
that's okay.
Like the career stuff. Let's do that.
Okay. So I feel like you have it at your disposal that you could increase somehow expand on the career stuff right now in a couple different avenues. But you're like, should I do that or should I not? Feeling like you definitely have the energy to do it and the smarts to do it, but I'm not sure what the drawbacks are. Let me see. Hold on.
Interesting. I think I know what you're talking about, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just feel like, listen, I like I'm seeing an ocean ebb and flow, and I'm like, there's always going to be the moving forward, and then there's always going to be the stepping back a little bit. But you have that, you have the means and opportunities to do that at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to carry something forward, you can do that. There's always going to be kind of, I need a day here, I need a week here, or whatever. There's always going to be that. But I feel like what you're offering is going to allow that. Like, people are going to wait, and they're going to be patient with you. So does that make sense?
100%, yeah.
Okay,
cool.
Good. Yeah, Beth, what are you feeling?
Well, I have to apologize because I was in the bathroom trying to jiggle the toilet handle and make it stop running for just a minute.
Jiggle the handle. Yeah. Oh, so should I ask you or?
Yeah, I mean, so.
Yes.
So Jen wants to know about her career opportunities, like what should she do in her career exactly right now? Like which way should she go? Not which way should she go, but, you know, something about her career.
So, I feel like there's only up, you know. You don't want to go back. You only want to go up, and maybe it involves some kind of education, like maybe taking some classes, if that makes any sense. I don't know. That's just what popped into my head.
No, I mean, everything. What Corrine just said, coupled with what you're saying, definitely. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like Beth said, there's only up. You know what I mean? There's no freaking going back. It's like you are in the right place at the right time. You're all, you know, I think all of us are. And we just have to recognize that. And the thing is, Jenny, you do recognize that, you know?
I try. That's why, you know, even people that are spiritually connected, we use other spiritually connected people because we have blind spots too, you know? And that's why, you know, to call into a show, there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
Now, if you guys don't know who Jenny is the owner of Intuitalks.com. I play the commercial here all the time. She is the queen of energy. She freaking, She can freaking talk about putting positive energy out there. She's the queen of it. So, tell people where they can find you on YouTube, because I always share your videos in my group. But, I mean, tell people
you
where
do.
They can find you. And guess what? Guess what? She's also a freaking awesome, really awesome psychic medium that I am floored by. So I'm so happy you're here tonight. Can you tell people where they can find you, Jenny?
Oh, my God. No, I mean, on YouTube I have the healing channel. It's Jenny Satori Healing. And, yeah. So thank you for that. I mean, I'm like, I think you're amazing, Corrine, and you are an unbelievably good reader, like excellent. And back in the day you used to have some doubt. I can see that you're getting over that, and you're just flying, you know, really high, and I'm so proud of you, you know, so just saying.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody else is like, what the hell? Go get a room or something. But anyway.
I was going to say, I have to agree with her about you, Corrine.
Thank you. Jesus, you guys. Come on now. So, Beth, you don't know who Jenny is exactly, but she, like.
No, I don't. And it's awesome. I'm glad to meet you.
I brag about her all the time to everybody. I'm always talking to people. And me and Jenny have a long history, but, I mean, we've only become really good friends. I hope I'm not saying something wrong here. But, I mean, we've become very close over the past couple of years. And it's just been like, it's like you met your long-lost sister that you never knew you had. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So I usually don't have time at night anymore. So it's like I've come on here and I'm like, well, I'm glad to talk to you guys. Really awesome.
Oh.
But I'm sure you got a million calls, so I'll just like keep listening and, you know.
Yeah, there's actually only three other calls right now. So, but anyways, I hear what you're saying.
We'll have to save our conversation. We're going to have a marathon conversation soon, you know.
I know. So every time we get on the phone, Beth, every time me and Jenny get on the phone, it's like 8 or 9 hours conversation.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, who the hell has that much to talk about? But we do have that much to talk about. It's so
Oh, I totally get it, because you know what? I used to have conversations on, like, I would sit out on my deck and talk on the phone to Lisa. And the next thing I know, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. We would literally talk all night long.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
nice to meet you, Beth, too.
Nice to meet you.
You sound awesome,
awesome,
and I thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the great reading.
All right, so listen, Jenny, can we talk sometime?
Yeah. Not on the fucking, excuse me, the radio show. Sorry.
But it's so funny because Beth, like, I've been taking notes to talk to Jenny. I'm like, I gotta tell Jenny this, and I'm like making notes because, you know what I mean? Like the time that we've talked has been like a couple months now at least, and I'm like, shit,
yeah.
I'm gonna make notes. I keep forgetting what I'm gonna tell her or what I want to tell her.
We've got
a
lot saved up.
Yeah, we do. Jenny, I'm gonna have to get a freaking case of fucking beer for that, you know.
Definitely.
Anyways, I love you, Chicky, and I'll talk to you, I hope, soon.
Okay, I love you, too. All right, I'll talk to you.
All right, bye. Yeah, she's really freaking amazing. She's an amazing woman. She is amazing.
Sounds like it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she really, really is. I love her to pieces. And she's just incredible, really. She's so talented. She's so mindful. She's she's got all, like, everything that you would want in a friend and a, you know, just like any, you, she has everything you could ever want in a friend and
cool.
way more. I mean, so anyways, I love her. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me see. Next caller is 414. I don't know if I know this caller. 414? 414?
Oh, did you stick me on, Crane?
Yeah. Who's that? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Jackie.
Jackie.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't.
I
didn't have my hand in queue, but it's nice to talk to you. Hello.
Right. So tell us about the doppelganger thing today, you know?
Oh, that was yesterday. Yeah, I went to the garden center just to see if I could. I usually buy my mom a hanging basket for Mother's Day. And so I went to look at the plants, and I turned around. This lady's standing there, and she looks just like my mom. So I'm just staring at her. And then she finally turned and looked at me, and I said, oh, sorry, you look just like my mom, and I'm wondering what you'd be doing here. And she said, oh, that's nice to be mistaken for a mom. It was just weird. I was like, why would my mom be right here? Why, you know, she doesn't come to this side of town.
Right. That is weird. So you don't think she was a mother? I mean, why would she say it's nice to be mistaken for a mom?
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. I thought about that, too, afterwards. She said it would be nice to be mistaken for a mom. So I thought, oh, I wonder if she doesn't have any kids or something. You know, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So Jackie... Beth is a friend of mine from the writing community. We spent many nights at Lizzie Borden's house. She's from Virginia. Anyways, but Jackie is actually in Wisconsin. And do you mind if I talk about you for a second, Jackie?
No, go right ahead. Yeah,
okay. So she had a daughter that she adopted. It was Layla. And Layla passed away. How long has Layla been gone? 2 years?
It'll be 3 years in July.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I mean, Layla was just such a special girl. And Jackie, you know, here's the thing that I'm so happy about is that she got to spend her life with Jackie. The rest, you know, like from when she was what, 3 or 4? How old was she?
No, she was only 16 months old when we got her. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. Forgive me. But the thing is that Jackie was meant, it was like meant to be that she adopted Layla. Because, like, it was like, wow. Jackie was just the greatest mother ever to Layla. So I just, you know, Jackie, there's not a day I don't pray for you and Layla. You know, I pray for you guys every day. But, I mean, it's like, you know, so Jackie knows, and she's mindful anyways about other stuff. But, I mean, Jackie knows the pain of losing a child and all the other stuff. And I just think you're amazing, Jackie. And I appreciate
you.
And I love to call you my friend, and I just appreciate you being in my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love you too, Corrine. Thanks.
And I wish I was a better medium because I could contact her. But, I mean, I've been trying. every other night, like, I try to say, Layla, talk to me, you know? But all I keep saying
is, you and me both, sister.
I'm sure. I know. Right?
Like, a lot of people I know will call me and tell me, like, oh, I dreamed of her yesterday, or, you know, or this happened or that happened, or I thought I heard her voice. And I'm like, man, how come I don't hear that?
I like when they tell me,
like, it doesn't make me mad or anything. I love when they tell me that. But I'm like, man, when is it going to be my turn, Layla?
I know, really. No kidding. Who knows what she's already doing, though, that you might be missing? And I know you're looking, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who knows? But, anyways, I'm sorry I picked you up and I wasn't supposed to.
No, that's okay.
But thanks for sharing the story about the doppelganger. And, We have a couple more callers. I'll take those. But thank you so much, Jackie. I love you.
You're welcome. I love you too, Green. Thanks.
Okay. I'll put you on hold. Okay. So, yeah, she's awesome. I just love her. Okay. So we have, let me see. We have 413-273. Hello.
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 Hi.
Are you there?
Yes.
Who is it?
Your long-lost sister.
My long-lost sister. Who's that?
You don't recognize my voice? Oh, that's hurtful.
I'm sorry.
My name is Carrie.
Carrie. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I don't... Who are you? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, like August 1st, 2009, you were my maid of honor.
Oh, my God. Carrie, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
Carrie, I would never think that you would call me, and that's why I wasn't expecting this at all. Oh, my God. God, I was a maid of honor.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was getting feelings off your other calls.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She is my long-lost sister. I forgot.
Thanks. Oh, man. No, I just have a question. Want to help me with my job stuff? So I just transferred departments after being in it for 10 years. I don't really know if that was a good choice or not. I mean, the money's better, the people seem great, but I don't know overall if that was the best of ideas.
Mm. Okay.
You know, from going seniority in one department to bottom of the totem pole in another.
Hmm. So why did this happen? Did they decide that for you, or did you decide it?
No, I chose it. I was tapped out on pay. You know, like, you can't go up any further in our union contract, and with the coronavirus going on and being an essential worker, the work got way overloaded, kind of like burnt me out quick. Was losing patience, started to really resent my coworkers, the job, and I don't know. This seemed like a good change, but I'm not sure if that was ultimately the right idea or the right decision. I can't read myself, you know.
No, you can't. I know. I think it was the right decision, Carrie. I think that there was, like, a bunch of, like, messy stuff at the other position, like, and it's going to come down the pike with the other position, too. There's a bunch of stuff there that you don't want to deal with, I don't think. And I feel like even though this position seems like you're at the bottom of the thing, it's, like, much more fulfilling for you. I don't know. I just feel like that was the right choice that you made. I'm trying to think. Hold on. Let me see. Beth, what do you have in the meantime while I'm thinking?
I just feel like it's the move toward what you want to do is exactly what you should do. Whatever makes you more comfortable is the right thing to do.
Right, right. And do you feel more comfortable, Carrie, or not?
Actually, the people make extremely comfortable. It's like, it's comical. It's almost like I'm in a episode of Taxi. Like, you know, the crew. You know what I mean? I kind of just fit in there where it's like there's no judgment. There's no whatever. Just like a happy, dysfunctional family, though. I don't know.
Right.
The other job.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. That kind of environment where you know, it might be the happy, dysfunctional family, but you're comfortable.
Right.
Right. Totally.
But I don't know if it's
a
relationship either. You know, how everything's great in the beginning, and then you see the true colors later.
Right. I feel like it's Carrie, I feel like that is a good situation. It's going to remain a good situation. I don't feel like you're going to be looking back and saying, why did I do this? I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's more to having that job that comes from this position, but there's something else that will come from this that is good for you and your life. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. Yeah, I don't know. I think you made the right choice. I really do.
Well, thank you.
There's friends or something. There's somebody that you're going to meet there. I'm not talking about, like, a lover or anything like that. I know you would never take a lover. But, I mean, she's married. But, I mean, I'm saying, like, there's some friend or something. I don't know. There's going to be something else that happens from this new position. And I don't know what it is, but it's a good thing. It's like, I don't know why I see more money, and I know you're not making more money, but I mean, there's something that's going to happen. What's that?
No, I'm making more money.
Oh, you are? Okay. But there's also more money to be had for something that's going to happen. I'm not sure what it is, but you're going to pair up with somebody there and do something to make even, you know, another side thing where you're making some money. I don't know what it is. Is there a woman there that is about 50 something that you're talking to?
I think all the women there are in their 50s or 60s.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Hold on. This woman has like lighter colored hair. It's like kind of like she looks like she put streaks in it. And it's kind of wavy. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
The one that has hair with streaks in it is probably in her 20s.
Oh, all right. Brenda, Barbara, is there a Brenda there?
At my old job, there was a Brenda. You know,
that's
the one I did
with
that.
Right. No. Okay. Let me see.
No, but that's like another thing, too. The other job that I left, I made friends with this one girl, Anna, and it's kind of funny because, you know, she would always give me dirty looks and stuff, and you know how I am. I just called her out on it, and we ended up becoming really good friends. And, when I left, it broke her. She realized she couldn't work there without me being there now. So she actually put in her, and she's pursuing real estate. So, you know, that's kind of also why I'm like, did I do the wrong thing? Because I feel like now I'm responsible, even though it's her own decision, and she chose to do that. But I didn't realize the impact I would make by leaving, you know, on somebody.
Right. Right.
So.
Well, of course you made that impact, Carrie. I mean, if you knew Carrie, I mean, I always told her she should be a stand-up comedian because she is freaking funny as hell. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She is fucking hilarious. But anyway, no, I can see where somebody would say, I don't want to work here anymore because you're not here. I can see that. I don't know. I feel like this. You made the right choice. And like I said, there's going to be dividends outside of this job that happen. And I'm not sure exactly what they are, but something is going to happen. So you did the right thing, Carrie. You really did.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
I
want to tell Tamika to stay away from Frank.
Oh, shit.
I'm getting nothing but
bad.
Well, if she's listening, stay away from Frank. I'm getting bad user vibes. I'm sorry. I have to say it. I just had to say it. I'm not feeling good about it. No, I don't care what his situation was. He's bad.
Yeah, so why don't you come on and do readings with me on the next show, Carrie?
Oh, and as for Jay, I think his company is going to be sold.
It's going to be sold from under his nose, right?
No, I think the owner of the company is freaking out because of possibilities of losing money or loss for maybe the COVID virus and whatever's happening. And he's probably looking to sell it, and they probably have buyers going to become walking through. And, you know, that would kind of go along the lines of him being worried about sickness and leaving and the cleanliness and stuff. I feel like he's sensing it too, but he doesn't know how to correlate it together.
Makes perfect
right.
sense to
okay.
me.
Yeah, totally, right? Carrie.
What caller am I going to take?
Carrie, tell people the story of the boyfriend you had that every time he took a shower, there was no soap left.
Oh, my God.
I think you just told that.
I can't even imagine.
What the heck happened to the soap? Oh, wow, I miss you.
Do you remember that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't in the trash barrel. Like, where's the soap? You did not use a bar of soap on your body from one shower. Like, where's the soap? Every time.
Wait,
Carrie, was that the guy that, oh, my God, I feel so stupid saying this, but was that the guy that picked his nose and his father picked his nose?
No, that was a different one. That was a whole family of bugger pickers.
Oh my God.
Just openly. As a matter of fact, I just had that situation happen to me with a coworker while I was driving in the car with them. I'm like, do you not see me here? People feel that. I'm not going to be in their clothes.
I remember one time, Carrie, you were like, he's going to put it in his pocket for later. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So who was the guy with the soap in the shower? He was Greek, right?
Yeah, that was Eddie the Greek.
Eddie the Greek, okay. As you can tell, Carrie's Italian also. So I mean,
love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen, sister. We're going to have to get together pretty soon. I hope we can because it seems I haven't seen you in a long time, you know?
At least 3 years. I last saw you, and we said we were going to get together, and that hasn't happened.
I know. Well, you know, it's all about the fucking vaccination now, you know?
Well, I've been vaccinated. Thank you.
You what?
I'm all set. I'm free to roam the world.
Okay. I'll be free pretty soon, too. 2 weeks. No, I'm sorry, a month.
A month.
And you know what? I'm coming up to Greenfield anyway, so I'm going to come see you at the same time, you know?
Okay, sounds good. You better let me know.
I will. I'll definitely let you know. Hey,
all
thanks
right.
for calling in. Anytime you want to do stand-up comedian stuff, come back.
You better tell Tamika.
What's that?
But you better tell Tamika what I said.
I will. And when she calls back, I'll tell her. She's not on now, but I'll tell her later. I'll tell her, stay away from Frank.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Done deal. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Okay. I love you too, Carrie. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. She is funny as freaking hell, man.
Oh my goodness.
I would actually pee my pants when I was with her because it was so freaking funny. Okay, so you guys, if anyone wants to hear the rest of the show, you got to call in to hear the rest of the show. And the number is 818-369-0327. So we're not going to go too much longer after the next 10 minutes. But, okay, so this is interesting. 229. I don't know who this is. 229. Hello?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, sure.
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling, can I get a general, please?
Yeah. What's your name?
My name is Melvin.
Melvin. Hey, Melvin. How are you?
Hey. A lot going on, but I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Okay, I hear you. Okay. Let me see, General Melvin. Let me see.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beth, tell me what you got, and in the meantime, I'm trying to ruminate here and see what's going on. What is this? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you right away, Beth. Melvin, do you have an opportunity to do something for work right now that you're thinking that you don't know if you should go ahead with, or what's going on with the making money situation?
Well, I keep thinking about trying to maybe start me a little business, small business, T-shirt business, a little small restaurant. Is, you know, not a big thing. You know, sell hot dogs, fries, and stuff like that for kids.
Right. Okay. I think that is something, if you can move forward on that, you should. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you have like a reputation or something that would bring people to your place, like to, or whatever it is, even if it's a stand.
Yeah.
It's like you have something.
Corrine, did your phone die out?
I think so.
I don't think I can hear Corrine. Melvin, can you hear me? This is Beth.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
I can't hear Corrine. I think maybe her phone or her audio died out. So she was talking about your work situation.
Right. Because I'm on disability right now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So are you talking about, like, a food truck? Is that what you're talking about with, like,
your
business?
Yes, ma'am. That came to my mind. And I was talking to my nephew about it. And I was, you know, maybe I could just, you know, ride around and sell burgers and sell sodas and ice cream and stuff like that in my food truck.
I think that would be a great idea. I mean, it sounds to me like you have, like, a propensity for cooking and serving people good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Good food and, you know, it just general positivity.
Yes, ma'am. I would like to do that. And also, I would like to, you know, print T-shirts out, sports T-shirts, Christian T-shirts, and have a little small shop and people can order a big quantity of maybe one or two shirts, or, you know, maybe you know, for family reunions and get-togethers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
good.
There's
Corrine.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I got cut out. For a while. So, Melvin, I think that either one of those ideas or both of them are a really excellent idea. And I know you're on disability, but you could use some extra money. I know you can. All of us can. And, I think you would be really good at doing these things. And I feel like you and your personality is like, I don't know, it's a big part of this. And
right.
I feel like people feel comfortable with you and they trust you. So that's a huge thing when it comes to business. So I would do, I would do either one of those or both of those things if you have the opportunity to do so.
Yes, ma'am. Because I'm in dialysis. I recently got on dialysis with my kidneys the last week of January of this year. And so I've been going to dialysis since then. But I just keep telling the doctors, they say that, you know, I may not recover from this, and then, but I am. I believe I'm going to recover. I believe my kidneys is going to start back because I got in a car wreck, and the injury that I have is an acute injury. And it kind of jammed my kidneys up, but my body sustained a lot of fluid buildup. So I have lost 80 pounds. I'm on a low-fat diet, and I work out every day. I have a physical therapist come to my house, but now I'm going to go start going to the gym and have a physical therapist work with me there. But I can walk and all that, but I'm kind of off balance a little bit. But I am, you know, I'm not in a shell where I'm depressed about it because I'm thinking so positive here. Like I already know that I'm going to manifest this, that I'm going to, my kidneys is going to come back, and I don't have to be on dialysis anymore. And it didn't happen to millions of people. So I want to be the first one. So what do you
think? No, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Go ahead, Melvin, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I just want to know what you all feel about what I, you know, they say about my kidneys recovery.
I feel like you're regenerating as we speak. And I feel like, I don't know why, but I mean, I can't tell you all the wheres and what about, but I feel like you're meant to be here and you're going to be here. And it's like you're not going anywhere for a while now. So get comfortable and, you know, just do what is in your heart to do. And I know you will, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so, I feel good about it, Melvin, really, you know.
Yes, ma'am. The place that I'm at, the dialysis center, is this a good place for me? Because I'm picking up a little negativity with some of the employees, because I'm the type of person, I ran into a situation where they pulled too much water off me, and my blood pressure dropped down 3 times, and this has happened 3 times, so I reported it to my doctor and to both of my doctors, and since I reported it, they've been looking at me under eye, so, which I really don't bother me, but if I'm safe, will I be safe there?
Wow. Okay. They do know you can report that to somebody higher than them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. I got a little something in mind. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, I mean, you might want to mention that to them because they're going to correct it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like they would correct it if they knew that, if you're like, you know, not threatening that, but just mentioning it to them, you know?
Right.
Because they need to, listen, they need to be treating you correctly. They need to be doing the right thing here. I mean, they're not helping anyone if they're not helping you. It's like, you know, you need to freaking speak out about it. So tell them that.
Yeah, I do. I'm very verbal because majority of the people come is elderly people, and they can't, you know, I don't think they're knowledgeable enough to know what's really going on, only what they tell them. But I pick up on that because I do a lot of research and a lot of reading, and I know exactly what step by step, what are they doing. But I just feel like this lady named Brandy is just done like me. At first, when I first started there, she was all in my face, treated me real nice, real professional, but now she'll walk by and won't even speak. And the only time she will speak is when I'm getting ready to leave the building. and I just turned my head. I'm like, something wrong with
it. Wow.
And she, and that's the type of environment. And it's a couple of more ladies there that, you know, I got my eye on, and they probably got their eye on me, that I don't approve of their work. Because I know it seems like they're doing something to those patients behind my back. But when I get there, they kind of straighten up. They don't do it in front of me.
Right, right.
Is them close to being right?
Yeah. Well, good for you for noticing that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I know your son died, Melvin. And
yes.
I'm so sorry about that. I mean, that was like when I heard about that, it was very sad. So
yes, ma'am.
If I said like that, you made
actually, I went and visited my mom's gravesite today, and my father, and my two brothers, and my son Melvin, and I just started talking and stuff and. You know, I told my mom a nice flower and stuff today. So I left in tears crying down the highway.
Well, I know. It's so freaking excruciating, you know. But so did you make, let me just ask you one question, because did you make Melvin Jr., did you guys used to make steaks on the grill?
Bets on a girl? I didn't hear you. What used to make what now?
I said, did you used to make steaks on the grill for him?
Steaks on the grill?
Steaks on the grill?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I'm a very good chef.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a very good barbecue. I do a lot of it for the family reunions and all kinds of stuff with the Boys and Girls Club, with the YMCA. I'm a football coach here in Thomasville, and I wish I can just, that's my goal, to get back out there with those young kids and get back on the football field, because I believe that's what I can minister to them. I can bring someone, have a lot to offer to them. And I'm going to try to get back out there this coming season in August. Get
right,
the coach hired me.
Right.
If I get hired.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hope I get hired.
I think you will get there, Melvin. I think you will, you know. You got a lot of light around you, Melvin. You got a lot of light around you. I want you to remember that. And, you know, wherever you're taken on this path that you're on, it's going to be a good place from now on. I feel like you have, like I said, you're like moving forward, not backward, and you're doing good. So I want you to remember that and own that. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because sometimes I do get down on myself and I get really depressed and I don't want to go nowhere, don't want to talk to nobody. And I just sit here and just wonder why I got to keep going through so much in my life and struggles after struggles after struggles. So it's got to be a really big light at the end of this other tunnel. And,
there is. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and
there is.
I believe this happened for my kidneys for a reason, to wake me up, I guess. And that's why I believe that they're going to be restored. And,
yeah.
In that full capacity.
Right.
Do you all see, do you have a timeline on that?
So I want you to, Melvin, I want you to keep envisioning that your kidneys are restored, because that's important. So you just keep putting the white light of Christ around you, okay? I see in about 4-5 months, you're going to be good. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be well on your way to recovering from that, okay?
Wow.
So I want you to keep imagining that. And
yes.
I also want you to call us back at that time or whenever you feel like it and tell us what's going on, because I feel like that you can do that yourself. You can do this, and it's happening for you right now. Anyway, regardless, but still imagine it, you know?
Okay, yes, ma'am. I believe
okay.
it. Will it be at full capacity, 100%, either close
yeah,
to 100%?
It will be close to full capacity, but, you know, it'll be well on its way within 4 months. Yeah, I just need you to keep imagining that and keep putting that light around yourself and understanding that you can heal yourself. We make ourselves sick, we can also heal ourselves. So,
oh, yeah. I heard that before. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you all contact remember? I remember talking to you all, and you all are so great and loving and caring. And I just maybe want to get an in-depth reading from either one of you all, or both, it doesn't matter. Do you have a contact number or anything I could call maybe Monday next week?
Yeah, well, I have a website that you can go to book something if you have a pen handy.
I have it.
Corrine, Corrine. And it's
okay.
DeWinter, DeWinter. So it's CorrineDeWinter.com. And I'm very affordable, by the way.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And that'll be your website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out tonight. One last thing I want to ask, because it's a lady that works there. And I told the lady, you know, she, to me, I was thinking she was flirting at me. But I told her I liked her. But I think she took it in another direction, like, oh, you're too old. I said, wait a minute, I didn't mean like that. But and then I asked her Friday, did she want my number? And then she said she'll get the number off the desk in the office when she get back in the building. And I just want to know, I need to back off of this woman, or is she going around saying that I'm trying to hit on her at that place, at the dialysis center?
I say back off, Melvin. I say back off.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like a very fine line between, you know, things right now in terms of, like, trying to be friendly with somebody and trying to, like, you know, people, like, so I feel like she's one to take offense and not
yeah.
one to be, oh, he just wants to be friends or whatever. So back off of that right now, I say.
I will. I'm not going to even ask you about nothing. I'm not really just going to speak, and, you know, that's it. But the thing is, that when I go to dialysis, when I just, like, ignore and watch television while I'm on the machine, she started making these noise, like, banging on the desk, and all this trying to get my attention. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I think she told the supervisor, Brandy, that I asked her, told her that I like her. Did she do that?
I'm not positive about that. I don't know. She might have. I'm not sure exactly.
Okay. When I went to visit my mom, Grayside, and I was talking to her. Then I went to talk to my father, side by side. Then I went to talk to my brother. He just passed away in August of this year, last year. And it was all of a sudden thing. He was in dialysis and everything just shut down on him. I was talking to him, and then my other brother, I was talking to him, and then I was talking to my son. I was talking to all of them. And I know they're not there, but, you know, in the spirit, did they hear me?
Right. They definitely hear you. Yeah.
They heard me? Yes, ma'am.
Definitely.
Do they have any messages to tell me when I visit them today?
Well, or, I mean, the message I got from your son is keep making those steaks on the grill. But, I mean, I'm trying to think. Let me see what else I can get. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
So your brother, so would he tell you not to trust some people?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, he would tell me that.
Okay, so he's saying something about somebody named Robert. Does that make sense?
Rod. My nephew is named Rod.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's him, but I don't know. Something about an R name. I don't know if it's him or not, you know?
Yes, ma'am. That's the that's the only one I know I can think of right now.
That's okay. Okay, yeah, so that's what I have right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can go into depth if you book a reading with me, Melvin, but right now that's all I have, you know?
Okay. That's okay. Yes, ma'am. And thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So
yes,
you go and do what you're supposed to do, and you got something ahead of you, and you're going to be living and doing things. So I hope you go out and have that, you know, energy and loving heart that you have, and you're gonna do fine. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. Because I'm scheduled to meet with a doctor. I have a port in my chest when I got out of the hospital. When I was in the hospital, they put it in. Now they want to take and put another one in my arm. And I really don't want to have that surgery because I don't like the anesthesia. I don't like to be put to sleep and all that stuff. I'm trying to prolong that where my kidneys can kick back in, but I won't have to do that surgery. Would that happen? Would I have to do the surgery then my kidneys kick back in?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not a doctor, and obviously I don't play on radio. But I mean, I'm not sure if that is necessary or not. But do some more research on it, because I don't know if it is necessary or not. I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't think it's necessary if I'm doing well, all my lab work come back perfect. I just got to get my creatinine level down. And it's a 7, you need to be a 3. And that's when your kidneys are kicked back in, if it's a 2 or 3. So
okay.
I'm working on it.
Right.
Yes,
yeah, ma'am. I'm not sure, Melvin. I'm not sure.
Okay,
but like
I'm
I said,
sure.
just do your research and see what that what plays out there. I think that you're going to find out much information that maybe you're not privy to right now but until you find out. So you'll make the right choice. You know?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Melvin, so much for calling in. It's good to hear from you again.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank both of you all. And I'm gonna go to your website and send a message to just see what you have to offer for me. And
okay.
We can talk offline.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
so we'll talk to you again. We'll talk to you again soon, Melvin. Take care,
okay? Okay, thank you. I will. Thank you very much. Both
you're
of
welcome.
You are very, very much.
You're welcome. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day. All right.
Okay, so Beth, just one more, I think. That's the one we just did. Okay, so maybe there's no more. Well, we have 630, who maybe want to reading. 630.
Okay, Karina, Amy, I have a new phone number. I have no questions.
Okay. Well, so Amy is recovering from COVID, Beth. And
oh, my.
Amy.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
Us, like,
it's horrible.
Yeah, I bet. So tell us what you're going through.
So I tested, even though I tested negative, I still have really bad symptoms. Mostly that I'm exhausted and I get really short of breath. So I came down here. I came to Louisville for Mother's Day because, you know, my mother died in December. So I didn't want to. I was getting. I was getting really depressed for some reason, so I came to Louisville, to see my my son and my grandsons. And but when I get back to Chicago, one of the hospitals there has opened up. See. I can barely talk, has opened up a clinic. Not everyone who gets COVID ends up having this, but there's people, they call them long haulers, and the symptoms just go on forever.
Right.
And it's interesting because I joined a Facebook group, so of other people, so that's like kind of reassuring. a lot of, medicine is so messed up these days, you know, it's so full of greed that with COVID it's been all about the vaccine. And nothing about what to do with all these people who are still sick. So I tried to – actually, Deb was real helpful in the chat earlier. She gave me a affirmation about lungs and cure. And she also mentioned something that I forgot, that grief – houses in the lungs. So I've had so many people die. My whole family's dead, except my kids are still alive, but my whole family, like what I grew up with, is dead. My husband's dead. In March, my daughter's first boyfriend, who lived at our house in high school, he died. So, it's just kind of curious. So, I really need to take matters into. It's weird because I don't cough all day. It's just by nighttime. I start coughing.
Right.
but no one's going to, you know, I really have to take care of this myself because, you know, with all medical things, we really have to take care, you know, sure, we can go to doctors and we can rely on their suggestions or whatever, but to put blind faith who, you know, are being taught in a corrupt system, you know, it's just also, it's just so hard to navigate, you know, you really can't trust anybody but yourself, and you really have to just be your own advocate and, you know, ask for help, but don't expect anybody to come save you.
Right, but Amy, I think it's excellent that they have a clinic there for people pre-COVID. Post-COVID.
People are having really bad symptoms for, it's a really bad disease. I mean, look at how many people it killed. Unfortunately, I got, and this is another thing. I got it from my fucking movers who were like, you know, like, oh, there's no such thing, you know.
Yeah, right.
I moved at the beginning of April, and people were already starting to get their vaccinations. So, and I've been coming and going for the whole year. I never got it. So it just really sucked. It really sucker punched me. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of moving. I still don't even have my bed set up because I sleep on the couch because I only have so much energy.
Right.
And
it's horrible.
You know, I could call someone to come, but I don't even want anybody in my house, you know. But it'll all work out. But I'm glad that Deb was in the chat because she really gave me a lot to focus on. That
right.
Sure, I got it from. I mean, I got it's real. It's not just and I got it from the movers, but the fact that it is continuing to affect me so badly, I just need to look at if it's just accumulated grief. Since my major symptom, mostly the headaches have gone away, my major symptom is like shortness of breath. Like I can't even go. I can do one thing. Like I can go to the grocery store, but I can't like go buy like a whole thing of groceries. I can go to the grocery store and get like one bag of things or something. I can only do like little bits of things. So I have to be real careful not to get in over my head, you know.
Right. Yeah. Man, I know. I've known people, too, that have had COVID that are still dealing with it months and months after. And I don't know if there's, like, a program around here that has, you know.
There is. I'll send you the link. There's a website. There's a website that's all the programs, and you're pretty close to UMass, right?
Yeah.
Because I found this place on a website.
Yeah, I mean, the fucking, you know, the whole COVID thing is like, you get it, and it's not necessarily you get it, and it's over. You know, I understand that, obviously.
They have something at Mass General. but that's all the way in
Boston.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've got Concord, that's basically Boston. Newton, that's basically Boston.
Anything in Springfield?
No. Maybe Hartford. There's this group, it's called Survivor Corps. And if you just go to www.survivorcorps, like CORPS.com, maybe there's something in Hartford. But no, it's bad. I mean, it's bad. It's really scary. It's really scary. It's really scary because, okay, so of course in, they have one in Hartford. That's not so far away.
No, that's not bad. That's like 20.
Yeah. Hartford Healthcare COVID Recovery Center. But yeah, just go to yeah, there's one in Hartford. So that's closer than Boston, and it's closer than New Haven, where the other one is in Connecticut at Yale. But
right.
They're looking at there's just a lot of stuff. There's just, you know, has neurological impacts. And I mean, it's just a lot, but I mean, I guess I'm glad I don't smoke, you know, I quit smoking like 3 years ago. So I'm certainly glad I don't smoke anymore because that would have made it a million times worse.
Right. Right.
And, whatever. But at the end of the day, the only person who's gonna heal me is me. You know,
right.
I need to go and see if they have some suggestions. But I don't want them to just put me on a bunch of medication.
Right.
Which seems to be what there's do these days. Anyway, it's really scary. I mean, it took me by surprise. And it's been a lot. It's been, and it's really, it's scary. But anyway,
okay, so I just opened the mic for Deb in Canada. Deb, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not calling in for a reading or anything. I wanted to just call in and say hi and touch base. And I was worried about Amy because I could see, you know, I've been going through a big lung process myself, actually, and not COVID as far as I know, but I'm going to acupuncture for it.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And, I've heard
good things about that. Yeah, well, she's a Chinese medicine doctor, too, and so she's given me herbs for the lungs, and also, like, you know, the acupuncture itself, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it seems to be helping to my energy level because I was so exhausted, and like Amy, I moved too, and it just about freaking did me in, you know.
Oh my God! This, I mean, I thought I was all ready to move, and I can't even tell you the stuff. It was like one thing there because I had all my mother's stuff too, so then I ended up throwing out a mink coat accidentally. But then I was fuck it, I don't need it. You know, people just make fun of you with you, you know, and harass you. And I got it for cheap. But, and I threw away my mother's wedding dress because the Goodwill wasn't open and I was running out of time. And so then I started thinking, well, I'm being punished for throwing out my, you know, I'm like losing my mind, you know, because this move ended up costing me like 10 times as much as I thought it was going to. And
oh, my God, it sounds like the same thing I went through.
20 times longer than, 20 times longer than, I mean, and I moved to a beautiful place, but I'm not even enjoying it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder, that's weird, moving and...
You'll just have to, yeah, you just have to pick away at it. Like, I've started to pick away at it a bit more, but, like, I mean,
yeah.
When I got here, I don't even think I had sheets on the bed. Like, I got the movers to set up the bed because I'm like, I can't even do this anymore, you know? And also, I'm kind of in a smaller place than I was in, so it's, like, really a lot of figuring things out, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop.
But I was really short of breath, too, and I couldn't even walk up the hill by this place, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me, you know? And it's actually
worse
at night.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, but my lungs are clearing. I am getting better, you know. But it really takes a lot of work, you know.
Yeah, and you have to, I mean, and you have to, you have to want to get, you know what I mean? You have to put your heart and soul into
the
getting
big thing,
better.
This is what I couldn't find, but I looked up Louise Hay, you know, metaphysical causation. I often refer to that. So here's what I have posted on my fridge. There's a Sanskrit symbol for breathe, and I have that. And it says, this ancient Sanskrit symbol is a beautiful reminder to do what comes naturally. It's the first thing we do when we come into the world, and it's the last thing we do when we leave it. And then, excuse me, the affirmations from Louise Hay were, lung is the ability to take in life. I take in life in perfect balance. Problems can be depression, grief, fear of taking in life, not worthy of living fully. And it is my birthright to live fully and freely. I love life. I love me. I have the capacity to take in the fullness of life. I love... lovingly live life to the fullest. Bit of a tongue twister there. But anyway, that's what,
yeah,
like...
you know, I pulled her book out the other day. You know, of course, it doesn't have COVID in it because she died before it was invented. But I looked up the lung stuff. And it's just, I mean, before my... before my mother died, like for 10 years, I was like taking care of her, you know, financially and emotionally, you know, and that filled up. Between that and my job, there really wasn't much else to do. But now with that, you know, between COVID and the isolation, and her dying and not having, and me having more time on my hands, it has been like a big problem. It's like, you know, I just don't have, it's very hard to, you know, it's really bad timing to have to create like a whole new life in the middle of COVID when everything's shut down because.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, if you can afford to get someone in even for a day or two to get the basic stuff together, you know,
Exactly. I did it like yesterday. I got a little bit, but I think that I think I'm going to have to get someone in to do to do the rest of it, because it's like, I don't know, I'm just getting so isolated. The idea of someone in my apartment, it's just like too much.
I don't like it either, but, you know, at least you'd be able to rest easy, you know. If you can afford it, I think it would be worth every penny.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not that expensive. I mean, it would be so worth it.
I still might get to be in here, like, for one day even, but I'm trying to plug through. I got a little bit more energy since I went for acupuncture. So I'm trying to get a bit done, and then maybe they can help me with the other stuff, you know? I'm trying to get the piles sorted, you know?
Yeah. Fortunately, I have a storage, you know, as in addition to my apartment, I have like a 10 by 10 storage unit that's, I mean, it's like two hallways. You permanently live in. It's kind of like a hotel. You know, it's got like elevators and, you know, I get to my apartment from the inside, you know. I have a storage unit. It's like two hallways. It's like two hallways away. So that's nice, because then I can just have in my apartment, you know, it just doesn't have to be so full of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to pare it down, because it's like, well, we're getting older.
I don't use any of it, but it's like, I don't use any of it.
And also,
I use my hairbrush.
Having too much stuff can feel suffocating too, right?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And then when I had my mother, that's why I had to throw it out. I couldn't even find another.
Yeah.
It just had to go away. It just had to go away. Even if
I was punished
because my this mink coat I had gotten, like, when I first moved up here, I mean, it was really not, it was like, in its day, it was like a $20,000 mink coat, but I got it for like $50 because nobody wants mink coats but it was warm. I mean, when the polar vortex hits, it's warm, and it was in, I just can't even believe I threw it out, but it was kind of like, I felt better when I threw it out, because I threw out my mother's wedding dress, and it just haunted me. And then I was like, well, you know, isn't that enough? I threw out my mink coat with it, you know, like, is that a fair trade? No, we're still going to give you coronavirus. It's like my mind just isn't even working properly anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like I
got
coronavirus because I threw my mother's wedding dress out, and I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Very little
which
to
you
do
know
with each
is
other.
Probably not the reason.
Right. And I'm sure my mother, if she could see the situation I was in, would not have a problem with it.
And she doesn't need it anymore, and what are you going to do anyway, you know?
Nothing, just call the freaking thing around. I needed to throw the stuff, away, even though it was, but fortunately someone went through the trash.
Yeah.
So it didn't get thrown away, like it didn't end up on the landfill.
Somebody will find it, and it'll be a big treasure for them.
Whoever found that freaking mink coat must have thought that.
They hit the jackpot, eh? Well, you know, I put a bunch of stuff, and I had a lady come, and she picked up everything. She said, like, she picked up the garbage. She picked up the donations. Like, and I just didn't try to sell really much of anything. I'm just like, donate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was sweet. And so then a few days later, she sent me a picture. She said, like, do you care where it goes? And I said, no, I don't. You choose. I'm sure you know who needs what or whatever, you know? And she sent me these pictures, and I had this huge bin of beads, which, like you said before, I'm never going to fucking do anything with them, right? And she had given them to, I don't know, an after-school program or something, and she sent me pictures of the kids making their stuff.
Oh, wow.
See, isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful.
Oh, and it felt so good, you know? And I just thought, yeah, you see, if I'd have kept those, they'd still be sitting in a bin suffocating me along with all the other crap, you know? Like,
that's fantastic that you did that, you know?
Oh, I know. What a sweetheart she is, I'm telling you. So, yeah, you know? So, yeah, I always feel like if somebody else gets to use it and they're going to enjoy it, then all the better. Because, like, now I've just reached a point where, I don't know, after spending, like you, I live alone. I've been holed up in my place for, you know, going on a year and a half now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I reached a point where I've got to decide what's important, you know? And
yeah.
I only want to keep what's important. I mean, it's hard because I'm an artist and a musician, so I have a lot of crap associated with that.
Right.
But it's not really crap because I use it. But other than that, yeah, I'm just like, forget it, you know? It has to go. It has to go. Oh, man, this cat. She's, like, 19.
But, I mean,
and she,
at least you had a positive experience. Like, and that's
yeah.
the thing, too, because I go to, I threw out all my furniture. I don't even know why I needed movers. But they still moved a ton of stuff. But I threw out the furniture.
Yeah.
I don't even. But I bought this furniture that was exactly – the furniture that I had, I kind of recreated the house I grew up in.
Oh,
by
cool.
Buying, yeah, it was, you know, it was certainly better than using my mother's wedding dress as a comforter or whatever I was going to do with it. You know, so it's like, sure, they're still being, it happened quite by accident, but once I started doing it, it brought some comfort because, you know, everything's so freaking weird. Even with things opening up, it's even more weird now that things, I don't know how open things are up in Canada, but
now we're just going into another lockdown here. We have the highest numbers per capita in North America. So everything's shut down. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, again. So it's okay. Like, I left the hair salon. I don't do much hair anymore. I mean, come on. Like, I've given it a lot of years, you know. I have a few clients, so I visit them in their homes, but I still follow the health regulations, so I'll be closed. I wouldn't be doing any hair, well, for the time being. You know,
when
so,
did you go to lockdown again? When did, is this just recently?
Yeah, it's locking down like Monday. There's nothing going on. So luckily, like I need some body work because I know I'm holding emotion in my body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know this lady who does like Reiki and massage. So I'm going to go on Monday, but I wanted to go for this infrared sauna. And luckily they had one cancellation and I got an appointment for tomorrow and it's like their last day before they lock down, you know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, sauna
anyway,
is
you're in a private
for detox thing.
Yeah. It's for, like, I want to, you know, removing toxins and also it's supposed to be really good for inflammation, right?
Right.
So, you know, with COVID, there's a lot of inflammation.
Inflammation, that's the main thing. Right. That's the,
So you want to treat that, you know. The lung medicine I've got here is, what's it called? Restore the Lung Formula. But you can't get it only from an acupuncturist. Because I looked it up to see if I could get extra, and there's just nowhere, like, you can get it unless you go to an acupuncturist. you know.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can eat that are anti-inflammation, like olive oil and honey. And, I mean, there's a lot of natural things you can eat.
Right, and not sugar.
No, right. Yeah, if you kill off the sugar and, you know, dairy and gluten, those are the main things
that
cause inflammation. The other really good thing is your omega-3s. The EPA extra strength is for inflammation. And I take that every night, you know. And I take magnesium and also, well, I know Corrine takes a lot of stuff too. But one thing that's quite good for the immune system and is the quercetin and the zinc citrate. If you take that every day, that's a good combo. And then I take, like, magnesium, and I take K2 with my vitamin D. Lots of vitamin D, right? But you got to take K2 with it. Because the K2 helps your arteries not to clog up, you know? And it helps the calcium to go where it's supposed to be in the bones, not, you know, in your arteries, right?
Right.
Oh, my
God,
I'm looking this stuff up. It says you need to register, be registered as a licensed practitioner to purchase this product.
Yep, exactly. But, you know, if you can find an acupuncturist who, you know, go for a treatment and get a bottle, and then you should be able to get refills anytime you want. I'd highly recommend the acupuncture if you can do it.
I think,
like, obviously,
do that
I'm not
before I go
rich.
To, before
I've
I go
got
to rush.
Tension now. That's
rush.
The only thing that's saving my arse, you know. It's like I'm over 65 now, you know. So I've got that regular income coming in, the pension. So I can afford to go maybe to acupuncture, get the odd massage, like, whereas before, I couldn't do anything like that. I could barely put groceries on the friggin' table, you know?
Right?
I think I'm going to go to the acupuncturist before I go to the COVID clinic because, you know, the COVID clinic is at a big teaching hospital. And so they're just doing what, you know, the drug companies are telling them. Are telling them to do. There was a court case in the town I live in. This woman had to go to court to make the judge force the hospital to give her mother a certain treatment for COVID. But you know,
oh my God, she wanted something that wasn't conventional that the doctors weren't recommending. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's old, so it's cheap. It's cheap, cheap, because it's, you know, it's like 50 years old. And I just worry about getting, you know, I don't want to sound like crazy conspiracy lady, but I just worry about getting in their little clutches.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm worried because, like, I've got a lot of immune issues, you know, and that's why I'm scared of the vaccine because, like, when I don't know, in Canada anyway, when you go to register to get a vax, it says to you, do you have any autoimmune issues? Yes. Do you realize that there's absolutely zero research on this? And it's like, yeah, but everybody wants you to get vaccinated, you know? And then I had this hair client contact me, and she said, hey, hope everything's okay. Did you get your vax yet? If so, I'd like to book a hair appointment before the shutdown. So she wasn't.
I went and got. I'm not, like, totally anti-vax, but I'm not. Especially these, because they're so new and they were just rushed. So I got the Johnson & Johnson one. Something told me.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that the Johnson & Johnson one.
Because it's one-shot deal, right?
Well, it's one shot, but something told
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you only need
they
one.
They were trying to, like, it's not as connected to Bill Gates as the
yeah,
Moderna.
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering
the,
about these. What do you think, Corrine, about those RNA vaccines?
Well, I mean, so I did a lot of research, and because my sister's dying right now, so I'm like, I want to get the vaccine so I can spend time with her. So I did I got the first Pfizer.
Pfizer. Yeah, that's probably what I'm getting too, Pfizer.
Yeah, and then my second one is on the 17th. So, I mean, you know, I don't give a shit. This whole fucking conspiracy about the DNA changing, I don't give a flying fuck about that, and it's not even true.
Yeah, I don't think it is true.
I don't think that is. I just worry about what... you know, it was just developed too. It was just developed.
Quickly. The thing is, Amy, it wasn't developed too quickly because, listen, we've had the SARS thing going on for a long time. This whole trial of vaccines has been going on for years. The SARS virus has been going on for years, okay? So it wasn't rushed, really. It was, like, stepped up. Yes, it was. But, I mean, I don't think, you know, I did a lot of research on it, and, I mean, I'm satisfied that whatever fallout is going to happen is going to happen with any vaccine. Look at the polio vaccine. Even though it did a lot of good, it did a lot of bad, too. But, I mean, I'm just like, I'm old enough now that it's like, you know, whatever. I don't fucking, like, I just want to be able to spend
time. Yeah, for me, it was easier to get the vaccine than live with the social stigma of not having it.
It's going to be a lot easier. You know, the thing about the speed of development, well, they did build on other stuff that they already had, like Corrine was saying. But one of my hair clients, who's a doctor, she's a pediatrician, and she said, you know, a lot of these things take years to develop because they're constantly looking for funding, you know, in order to push it through. But with something like this, all the governments of the world funded it, you know, that could afford to, you know.
Yeah.
And so that sped it up, like, amazingly because they didn't have to worry about where the money was coming from, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, that makes sense to me, too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not, like, pro-vaccine at all because I think, like, for instance, the Gardasil vaccine, I think that's fucking disgusting. But, I mean, at some point, you know, like, this whole thing, like you just said, Deb, they've been researching this for years. They didn't have the funding to put it through, but now they do, and I'm like, whatever. I mean, you know, at this point in my life,
We want to live our life, so let's just do whatever we have to do.
That's
kind of
funny because my appointment was last Sunday at like 10 a.m. and I skipped it. And the pharmacy calls me. So I went, they're like, do you want to give up your, you know, do you want to release your shot? And I was like, no, I'll come down and get it because I'm scared of needles. I don't like vaccines. And,
but you can pull the crazy old lady card and just say, oh, God, I forgot. I'll be right there.
No, I just told her I didn't feel, you know, that I had. Anyway, I just went and got it. And then, and now it's done. I have my card and it's done. No more consideration. No more, you know. Hemming and hawing.
Postponed mine because I wasn't feeling that great that day, and I had something to do the day after, and I was concerned that I might not feel well enough to do it. So I postponed my first dose until the 22nd of this month, so it's a couple more weeks away. But I might be able to stroll into a pharmacy and get it sooner, you know? If I feel the intuition to do that, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, it was just like when the woman called, I was like, I'm supposed to do this, you know, because it's not just slipping under the I'm supposed to do this. And then I knew I couldn't get the one with the two because I wouldn't go. I knew I wouldn't go back.
Yeah.
So
we don't really have J&J here at the moment. So, but Corrine, I wanted to ask you about your sister and that and how that's going for you.
Well, she has an oral chemo. And so I just talked to her before the show, and she says she's been taking that for, it's a four whatever dose, two times a day. And she says she's taking, she said, I don't want to go through this, but, and I said, Shirley, there's no judgment on you if you don't want to do it. I understand. I'm not, you know. But she said, no, I'm going to do it. And so that's what she's doing right now. So we'll
see
what
happens. She has kids, right?
Yeah, she's got three kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I recall seeing the pictures. So what kind of cancer does she have? Do you mind me asking?
No, not at all. Well, she has liver cancer. So they went and operated her. Operated on her liver and took out most or all of the cancer on her liver, but then it came from the bile duct, and but then it spread. In the meantime, it spread to her lymph nodes, which is terrible.
Oh shit!
So yeah, so that's why she's taking the chemo stuff. So anyway,
so
it's metastasized,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like. Day by day, I'm doing what I can do. I mean, she needs money, so I'm giving her money, and I'm like praying for her like every fucking hour, and I'm just like doing what I can do, and the rest of it is up to her. You know what I mean? So, yep. I mean, it's whatever happens, it's meant to be. I know that it just sucks, but. She's my little sister.
It is.
She's the closest person to me. I mean, but
yeah,
So it's okay. I mean, I'm dealing with it as I can, and she is too.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're all getting used to. Well, I mean. Anybody who's left my life, I'm still in touch with them,
Right, exactly.
It's like they're still around me anyway, And
right.
So that's, I guess, probably, actually, that's what I was having to do why I canceled my vaccine, because there's a gal that I know, we were bloggers on this one platform like way back in like 2005 or whatever. And she's starting a podcast, like she's had quite a bit of loss, her brother, her mother, and then her closest friend. And I had my brother, a friend, and my dad, right?
Yeah.
And so she's starting this podcast where she's talking to people about, have they had, communication with the people who've left and about the grief process and all that, So she's just getting started, and actually I was going to say that she's looking for other people to interview if anyone's interested. Like, I didn't know if I should post it in the group or what.
Yeah, do post.
Should
that.
I?
Yeah. I think that's important, yes.
Yeah, because there might be somebody who wants to talk about it. Like I've had quite a bit of communication with my dad and my brother, And then some of it was through a medium, who was a piano student of mine. But I had a lot of crazy information come through, And so, we're all doing one part of the grieving process or another, aren't we?
Totally. We always will be.
Not to mention that when you have all this loss, I'm starting to grieve my own life.
God. Amy, I think about death every single day. I really do.
Yeah, and it's not like in a suicidal way. It's just like, I go through a life review. I mean, I'm like
yes.
things pop in my head. That I totally forgot about, and they usually involve me doing something less than admirable to someone. It's like, oh my God, he's with us, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, just get me outside, you know, like.
Yeah.
I just need something trivial, because all I have is just like these thoughts go through, you know. I'm like, wow, it's over, you know, like it's coming to the, even if I live a long life, you know,
mm-hmm.
20 years ago was 2000, you know, 20 years ago was 2000. It doesn't seem that long ago, 20
no.
years, you know.
No, it doesn't, but I mean,
years
I'm,
from now, right. I'll be 80. So it's like,
exactly.
you know.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing, right? We've only got so much time, so it's like I'm in this place now and I'm trying to get rid of whatever I don't need so that I can finish whatever work
right.
I'm supposed to be doing before I leave here. And, you know, I've procrastinated a lot, so I've got a fuck of a lot to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. That's what I'm like, oh, my God, I've just messed. I mean,
yep.
I've got to get on the ball here. But
yeah, I know.
Well,
we all do. Corrine's
so,
the
I
one
mean,
that's always pumped stuff
like,
out, though. Like,
Corrine.
Look at her go. Another book, and like, what the hell, Corrine?
But listen,
Corrine,
I want to tell you guys something that's important. Is like, I asked Renee about the vaccine, and
yes.
we know Renee is like right on, right? She said, get the vaccine. I think it's safe and it will keep you out of the hospital. So
yeah.
only then, Zine, and that's what I did. So,
yeah.
I mean, we know Renee's totally in tune, man. She's a
oh,
fucking
yeah.
right.
You know?
Oh,
so
yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Yeah.
She doesn't have a show anymore, eh?
No.
No. Nah.
She's like, I'm done with giving free readings. Fuck that bullshit. You know?
I don't blame her, you know.
Yeah,
it's
no way.
Too much,
no
especially
way.
The call. I mean, the call in.
Oh, my
like,
God.
You know that girl, Tamika, that called in tonight?
Oh, yeah.
She's been
yeah.
calling about that guy, Frank, five motherfuckers. Fucking years. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, look, she's on to something. She's on to something different. And
yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh shit! I didn't keep track of Tamika. I should have realized that. You know,
she'll
be calling in her Sadie, wondering about Frank too. I bet you.
She used to call. What was that girl's? What was that girl? Renee, the other Renee. Remember the crazy Renee?
Oh, yeah.
Psychic?
Yeah.
She used to call her every single day and ask about Frank. And I was look, she's on to something new. Unlike all these other ones that call in, they're on the same freaking thing that they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Not that I'm not on the same thing as 5 years ago, but anyway, so at least I don't
I'm wondering if I that's what I was thinking. I wonder if I am. I mean, I must be, if everyone else is. And I'm so special. I must be on the same thing as well.
We're all special in our own way, you know. Oh, my God. I'm so glad to talk to you guys. It's been so long.
I know, Deb. So, Deb, you know you're on my prayer list every night, right?
Am I?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank God, because, like, that's probably what's been pulling me through.
You've been on my prayer list for, like, 6 years now, or whatever.
Thank God.
So, Sometimes I take
well, thank you for that, Maureen. You're so, you know what, you're so generous, and I really appreciate it. And can you remind me of your sister's name again?
Shirley. Yes.
That's right. Okay, well, I will put her in my little group. And
thank
Amy,
you.
Too, because she needs a bit of healing help, Amy does.
For my lungs, pray for my lungs and pray that the
I'll
my 5 year my 5 year thing is revealed to me.
You're gonna be okay, Amy, but you might just have to do a couple of these things. Like I really recommend the acupuncture. It's been making a big difference for me.
No, that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
And the one I have, a lot of them will read your tongue and they can tell what's going on by reading your tongue.
Really?
I have some other issues, too. I have Morgellons. I have Morgellons. You know, that, remember that picture that Joni Mitchell had? Like this freaking,
oh
my God.
Yeah, well, you need to go there.
I can't get any help. They're like, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with you.
Everything,
you're scratching yourself in
crazy.
Your sleep. I'm like, no, I'm not.
But you know
but
what?
You know
they
what?
Can tell anyway from your tongue, and they will give you, like, for example, like there is no thyroid in Chinese medicine, you know, but they will work on the organs and the meridians that are going to get you back in balance. Like, it's really amazing stuff. So let them do their thing, you know, and we need to get back in balance so that we can do the stuff we want to do, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay in balance, you guys, right?
It
and
is,
really
especially
hard.
In this crazy world right now, too, you know. But you guys can call me anytime you want. If you ever need to talk to someone, please feel free to call me. I'm pretty much on my own here, you know.
Yeah. Well, all of us three women are on our own right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, three strong women trying to fucking make their way through the fucking world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're wading through all the bullshit all on our own.
Totally all the bullshit. Totally.
But no, really, if you guys ever need anything or you need to talk, you know, you guys have been so great, and, you know, if there's anything I can ever do, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you need to chat, you know, let me know.
Well, this is awesome, the acupuncture, because I hadn't even thought of that for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm trying to plug my phone. I'm trying to plug my phone in. It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It must be getting late where you guys are, hey?
It's 1 o'clock in the morning where I am.
Right.
Yeah, and
I'm
actually in the Eastern time zone right now.
Yeah, so you guys are, it's almost beddy time.
Yeah, I usually don't go to bed till like 4:30, but.
Oh, God, really, Corrine? So do you do a lot of your creative work in the middle of the night?
Yeah, I just like I'll do all my work and then I'll be making jewelry and then I'll be fucking doing whatever I'm doing, packing up orders and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, just in the scheme of doing what you need to do, hey.
Right. So you guys, I'm looking for a house right now, and looking for a house right now is like the worst thing to do right now because everyone's overbidding on houses.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. But anyway, so I looked at a house today. It was beautiful. It was like, it didn't have much of a yard and there was hicks living next door. But but it was a beautiful house. I mean, the windows, like every window was new and it was big and it was just a beautiful house. And then I'm looking at one on Monday, and that is fucking 4,000 square feet, and it's gorgeous. It's fucking gorgeous. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, man, looking for a house right now is like folly, you know, because...
Well, I know the market's gone crazy. I guess everybody wants a little safe place, you know?
Yeah,
my
son's
trying to buy a house, and they can't even... They're trying... They own a house, but they're trying to get a house with a better school district. They can't even get out to see the house before it's sold for $50,000 more than
It's the same in Canada, and some people are moving across the country, like going back to the roots or whatever, and they're buying houses. They haven't even seen the house in person. They're buying it online.
I mean, something's going to happen. You can't, everything's too, and then I was reading an article about, because, I mean, they can't get a house. I mean,
yeah.
Just, the houses are gone by the time they get there.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
So I was reading an article about it, and some people are offering the owners, like, vacations and
oh, my God.
And cars and...
So if you see something, Corrine, that you can afford or whatever, just say, probably don't hesitate, you know?
No, I didn't hesitate on the my perfect property, which passed me by, because I said, I want this, there was a pond in the backyard, and it was fucking gorgeous, and so I offered $300, they were asking $265. And I offered $300, and that wasn't enough. So,
oh, darn it.
Yeah. I'm
well, it wasn't the right place then, for whatever reason.
I know. I got to understand that. Right.
Well, I'll send good vibes that you find the right place. I didn't know what you were looking.
Yeah, I got to get out of here, because guess what? My neighbors, well, I'm in a little condo right now. It's just so, it's way too fucking small, because I run a business out of here. This place is way too fucking small. But anyways, my neighbors are flying an upside-down flag right now. And you know why they're flying an upside-down flag? And so they're gay. So it makes sense of that. They're gay guys living together, and they're flying an upside-down flag. So, anyways, I got to get the fuck out of here, not only because of that, but because it's like a Nazi-run regime here. It's like fucking...
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah, you don't need that.
No way. So, anyways...
Well, I hope you find the perfect place, Corrine. I think you will.
Deb. Thank you, Deb. I know. Eventually, I'll find something, but I mean, but anyways, whatever. So, but that other house that I was, like, saying it was my perfect house, it was fucking perfect. It was, like, right